I want you to consider with me for a few minutes this morning six words that our Lord Jesus spake in John chapter 15. Would you turn there with me? John chapter 15. These six words found in verse 25 define and expose our guilt and our shame, and at the same time, His perfect righteousness. I want you to look at the last six words of verse 25. In verse 25, the last six words say, "They hated me without a cause." They hated me without a cause. There has never been one who was so loving, so compassionate, so merciful, so gracious, and so kind as our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would seem to me absolutely impossible not to love or have affection for Him. We meet people along the road of life, and some people are just easy to like, easy to love. And we even say that, but that fellow's just easy to love, or that lady's just easy to love. If you don't love them, something's wrong with you. You've heard statements like that. Surely to hate the Lord Jesus Christ, who is altogether lovely, Scripture says, exposes something horribly wrong within the one who hates Him. Yet I declare to you that as the pages of divine Scripture plainly show, there was never one who was hated more than the perfect Son of God. And sadly, this is God's charge against all mankind. Since the fall of man, including you and I, there was never one who was more despised, more rejected of men, never one who bore such sorrow as the Lord Jesus Christ, who is referred to as a man of sorrows. From the moment He was born until He gave up the ghost, He was hated, He was despised, He was rejected by those who should have loved, adored, and worshipped Him. But He says that He was hated without a cause. Without a cause. You remember the passage in Isaiah 53 where Isaiah prophesied this concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, it came to pass. The prophet said, "He is despised and rejected of who? Men. Men. All men and women by nature. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted, familiar with grief. In His grief, His sorrow and anguish, what did we do?" The prophet said, "We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. We looked upon Him in disgust as one who was loathsome and repulsive, hating Him, detesting Him, and considering Him as unworthy of any notice by us." Now, that's talking about our hearts toward the Savior. And it's to our shame, and it's to the condemnation of all men and women born of Adam's helpless race that these words are spoken, especially when we consider who it was that said them. "They hated me without a cause." No cause, no reason, no justification in hating the spotless Lamb of God. Why, He came into the world to save sinners. And He says they. They're speaking of all who refuse to believe His word. They hated me without a cause. And sadly, multitudes of folks still do. Without reason, without grounds, without justification, without a cause, men hate the one that they should love. They hate the one that they should worship and adore. So what does that say of man? We hate that which is good, and we love that which is evil. Genesis 6:5 plainly says that God looked down and he saw that every thought of the imagination of man's heart was only evil, and only evil continually. What does that say of you and I? Our Lord Jesus said in John chapter 3, he says, and this is the condemnation. This is why men are condemned, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. Jeremiah wept and he reasoned and he said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leper change his spots? And then he goes on and concludes, then may you and may I also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. Oh, we hated him without a cause. We cannot do good. And our Lord exposes the evil of our desperately wicked and deceitful hearts by these sober words. How solemn and sober they are. They hated me. They hated me without a cause. No reason, no cause that he should be hated. Why, he's the epitome of love. Why should he be hated? It was without cause. It was without reason that any should hate him. And some might say, well, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know my heart. I don't hate God. Well, I'm not the one that said it. And he's speaking to me the same as he is to you here. They. Who is it that says it? The Lord himself. They hated me without a cause. Our Lord in John chapter 7, he said, the world hateth me. The world hates me. Why? Because I testify of it. I expose the world. I tell the truth about men's hearts, that the works thereof are evil. And that world represents all of us. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, in verses 2 and 3, and he said, where in times past, you, walked according to the course of what? This world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, among whom we all of us, every single one of us, had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. And then he says these words, even as others. This speaks of all of us by nature. Even as others. Men's hatred for the Lord Jesus Christ displayed itself in various ways over the course of his life. On one occasion, he stood to preach in his own hometown. He got up and they handed him the scroll, the scriptures to read, and he simply said, this day this is fulfilled in your ears. And you know what they did? They took him out to the big hill and was going to throw him down head first. Men hate him without a cause. Another occasion, they took up stones to hurl at him in anger and contempt because he simply said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and he was glad. And their hatred exhibited itself often in slanderous marks. They called him a glutton. They called him a drunkard. They looked down their noses at him because he ate with publicans and sinners and didn't wash his hands. They hated him without a cause. Their cries turned from one day as he rode in on a donkey, a small colt, from Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, quickly turned their words to crucify him. Crucify him. Release unto us Barabbas, who was a notorious murderer. Oh, the hatred. What made their hatred even more incomprehensible was that it was totally, totally void of any justifiable reason. They hated him without a cause. So once did I, and some still do. Our Lord ministered to the poor, and he ministered to the rich alike, and he spoke to them on equal terms. He never showed any partiality to the rich. He never showed any discrimination to the poor. His compassion was equal in regard to the noble centurion or the unimpressive servant. He was no respecter of persons. He was compassionate to all who had a need. He was at the disposal of both the notable and to the servant in times of trouble. Our Lord always showed mercy, always showed compassion in time of great need. Never once in the Scriptures can I find where one came to him asking for help that he turned them away and turned them down. No. He said, "I will. I will." Was there anything concerning his person, his character, as a man that would cause anyone to hate him? He was absent of absolutely everything and anything that would provoke such treatment of hatred. None could say that they were envious. Oftentimes men don't like other men because they're envious of their possessions. But the Scriptures say that even foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. So it couldn't be that. Oftentimes pride, arrogancy, and hypocrisy are things that men despise in other men. But the Son of Man gave no thought for himself. The Scriptures say he made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, always serving, never demanding or desiring anything from anyone. Why did men hate him? They hate him without a cause. There's no reason. Now, upon careful examination of the meaning of that phrase, without a cause, you'll find that the same Greek word is on several occasions in the Scriptures translated as the word freely. They hated me freely. Our Lord says, they hated me freely. This should cause us to consider the very thing that men attribute their salvation to, and I refer to the free will of man. Free will. Do you want to see something of man's free will? They hated him freely. They hated him without a cause. God delivered his beloved Son into the hands of wicked men. And what did they do? How did they exercise their free will? They hung him on a cross and killed him. That's what they did. That's what man's free will did, and that's what man's free will still does. It nails him to a cross. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he said, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you." How was he approved of God among you? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. And he said, You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That's what man's free will do to the Savior. The Lord Jesus was approved of God. God did great miracles by him in the midst of the people. And in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus made this statement. Hold your place here in John 15. Turn back with me to chapter 10. I want you to see this. Notice our Lord's words in verse 30. He says, "I and my Father are one." Now notice that the word "my" is italicized, as we've seen. That word was added to make the passage read a little easier. What the Lord said here was this: "I and Father are one." He's saying Son and Father are one. He's saying, I am God. I'm God. In verse 31, then, immediately, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And the Lord asked them in verse 32, he said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work, we're not stoning you because of a good work you've done. We want to stone you for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They didn't hate the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did. They hated him for who he claimed to be. They hated him without a cause. Well, if they hated him for what he said, was it really without a cause? Yeah. Because what he said was true. What he said was true. If he had lied, then there would have been cause. But he didn't lie. He simply told them the truth. I am God, he said. I and Father are one. And friends, I tell you, men hate Christ today for the same reason. They don't hate him for what he can do for them. Now, let me tell you, you preach a Jesus that promises riches to men by giving them a hundredfold return on their investment in the church. That's what men are saying. Well, now you give 10 and the Lord will give you back 100. Well, what a great deal that is. You preach that kind of Jesus and they'll follow you to hell and back. You preach a Jesus that's made salvation possible without infringing upon man's free will. And I tell you, they'll pack an auditorium full to have their itching ears tickled. But you preach, now listen, you preach a sovereign Savior. You preach one who elects sinners according to his own choosing. You preach a God who predestined and called sinners before the foundation of the world without their will, without their work, without their cooperation, and they'll kill you and claim that they did God a favor. You preach a God that has mercy on whom he'll have mercy. A Savior who'll have compassion on whom he'll have compassion, and they'll freely hate you without a cause. Men don't hate the Jesus of their imagination. They don't hate the Jesus they've conceived in their own mind. No, but they hate the one that this Bible teaches. And they hate him without a cause. Did you save your place in John 15? Look there with me again. Look at verse 16. John 15, 16. The Lord Jesus speaking here, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. Now, that's the sovereignty of God right there. You didn't choose God. He chose you. Isn't that what he said? How much simpler and plainer can that be? You have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained you. You preach that, and I'll tell you, they'll lay hands on you, but not in a biblical sense. You tell men and women that is the God of the Bible, that he chooses, that he ordains, that he causes men and women that they should go forth and bring forth fruit. It's God that brings forth fruit in a man or a woman. It's God that worketh in you. And he says, and let your fruit remain. It's God that keeps you. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. It's God that gives. You tell men and women that God does what he wills, that he does what he wills, when he wills, to whom he wills, and they'll hang you on a cross if they can. You tell men and women the truth, and they'll hate you. Look at verse 18. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You try to strip a man of his free will decision, his choice, by telling him that God did the choosing, not man. They'll do the same thing to you that they did to Christ. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now look at verse 33. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And it's without a cause. It's without reason. Well, I know if I stopped right there, you'd probably think, well, what good news is there in all this? Well, I've given you the bad news, so let me give you some good news. Though it's true that all men and women by nature hate the Lord Jesus Christ freely, without a cause, it is equally true that he loves his people freely, without a cause. Remember, I told you the same word for without a cause is also translated freely in other passages of Scripture. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 3. Here's one instance where that word is translated this way. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Most of you can quote this without looking at it, but let's look at it together. Romans 3, 23. The Apostle Paul here writes, for all, every man, every woman, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that's the bad news. What's the good news? Being justified freely. Justified without a cause. How? By his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified without a cause. Nothing in me or you that deserved it. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. It's the gift of God. Free gift of God. Unmerited favor. Being justified. That simply means being made righteous and perfect before God Almighty. It's free. It's free. It's by grace. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. Without a cause. It's through the redemption that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we freely hated. Isn't that just something? That's just amazing to me. Have you ever heard such a wondrous and glorious truth? The one that I freely hated, the one that I hated without a cause, has loved me freely without a cause. That's the glorious gospel. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, being justified freely by his grace. Whose grace was it? Well, it was his. And it justifies me freely, without a cause, without reason. It was the grace of Christ whom I freely and without a cause hated. Look over a few pages to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. There again, very familiar passage of Scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And here the Apostle Paul declares again the sovereignty of God, for whom he did foreknow. He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, here it is, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely? Freely. Without a cause, without a reason, give us all things. How horrific is our sin? So horrific that God spared not his own son, but delivered him up to justify me freely. How hideous is our hatred for God? So hideous that God spared not his own son, and freely gave me all things in him. How deep is our depravity? So deep that God spared not his own son, and saves me by his grace freely without a cause. How just, how holy is God? So just and so holy that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for such a one as I, who hated him without a cause. Now that's the gospel. That's the most amazing thing the ears of sinners have ever heard. So I must ask you in closing, do you hate the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you refuse to believe him? You know, to refuse to believe him is to hate him. If you do not believe him, that too is without a cause, because he's not a man that he should lie. Let God be true, the scriptures say, and every man a liar. God himself says, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he said, come now and let us reason together. God says, let's reason together. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Lord says in Isaiah 55, everyone that thirsteth, are you thirsty? Come ye to the waters, and ye that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's free. It's free. It's been paid for. It's been paid for by him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy. That's what it says. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Our Lord said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Do you need rest this morning? That's where it's found right here. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now to those of you who hate him without a cause, I read you the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth in closing. For we must all, there again, all, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. One day soon, we're all going to stand before the holy justice and judgment of God. What think ye of Christ? Do you hate him? If you do, it's without a cause. Do you love him? Well, if you do, it was without a cause in you that he enabled you to do so.